burn out. We have to sustain people in the struggle, right? And I think what is going to sustain people is that counterbalance. Yes, we have to be out there saying no, and there's going to be more of that. Yes. So this is, you know, the title of the book is not No is Unnecessary. Right. No is necessary, but it's not enough.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. Please put your hands together.
Thank you so much, Joanne. And I want to thank you, Joanne, for just being such a tremendous visionary leader in this community. It was an honor to have this conversation with you. Thank you
well,
so much.
Thank you. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Stand up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth.
And that was author and journalist Naomi Klein joining Joanne Hardesty for a special Voices from the Edge. Good morning. It is KBOO Portland, 9 o'clock on your Thursday morning. Coming up in an hour, join us for Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman speaks to Mary Ruffel about her joyous and unmistakable collection of stories and essays, My Private Property. And then at 11:30, it's The Film Show, taking you on a tour of classic drive-in theaters around Oregon, where you can bring your roadster, your bike, or even your two legs to a screening under the stars. Up next, it's Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell will be bringing you the news you're not supposed to know up next.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale. Your unwanted books, records, and DVDs are treasures to someone else. Help them find new homes while raising money for your community radio station, KBOO. Bring them to KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Friday, August 11th. Please, no home-recorded cassettes, VHS tapes, or mold. The KBOO book and record sale will be held on Saturday, August 19th. If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email Ani at volunteer@kboo.org or phone her at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, resident Rump has bravely attacked the transgender population, and I'll have more on that in a moment. First, I want to follow up on the lovely interview with Naomi Klein. Scientists are very worried that the melting of the Greenland ice sheet could accelerate and it could raise sea levels more than expected. They say warmer conditions are encouraging algae to grow and darken on the surface. Dark ice absorbs more solar radiation than clean white ice, and so it warms up and melts more rapidly. Currently, the Greenland ice sheet is adding up to a millimeter per year to the rise in global average level of the oceans. And this is from BBC News. And they write, it's the largest mass of ice in the Northern Hemisphere, covering an area of about seven times the size of the United Kingdom and reaching up to 3 kilometers in thickness. This means that the average sea level around the world would rise by 7 meters, more than 20 feet, If it all melted, this is why Greenland, though remote, is a focus of research which has direct relevance to major coastal cities as far apart as London, Miami, and Shanghai, and low-lying areas in Bangladesh and parts of Britain. Pardon me. There's more to that article on bbc.co.uk. And this from Scientific American, the temperature baseline used in the Paris Climate Agreement may have discounted an entire century's worth of human-caused global warming, according to a new study. Countries in the Paris Climate Agreement set a target of keeping warming below 2 degrees Celsius by curbing carbon emissions compared to their pre-industrial levels. But a new study shows that pre-industrial level used in the agreement, based on temperature records from the late 19th century, doesn't account for a potential century of rising temperatures caused by carbon dioxide emissions. Accounting for those gases released from about 1750 to 1875 would add another 1/5 of a degree to the baseline temperature, according to the study. And this was published yesterday in Nature Climate Change, and the research suggests that there's less time than previously believed to address global warming. So it's worse, and there's an acceleration, as I often say, in the acceleration. And I find this when I research climate news every week. There are more categories of add-on effects, and the vicious cycle, the self-acceleration of climate change, is continuing and accelerating. And maybe you'd like to call in with your comments and questions on that after we get through the headlines here. But let's name a few. There's the soot, which has landed on Greenland, and that has increased its albedo, as the algae that I just mentioned does. I wouldn't be surprised if these two are working together to make the situation worse. And that's not just in Greenland. It's on ice all over the world. Ice all over the world is melting faster because of soot. There's methane, which is being released more quickly and from more sources than was previously realized. There's the warming of the oceans, which wasn't correctly perceived before and now is known to be gigantic. So many factors now need to be taken into account when a projection is made. And when you hear those cautious scientific projections, I'm not criticizing the science. They're doing the science right, of course. Often when you hear something about your grandchildren will have an effect, or it'll take a century to have this or that effect, what you're hearing is the most cautious possible, and the most the projection that excludes most of the factors, because we're only now understanding how many factors are being brought together to produce what we were experiencing as this extremely rapid global warming. And there are climate effects being felt this year. This is a very warm year, one of the warmest, one of the four warmest, even though it's not an El Nino year. There's that much heat around. Conditions are weird. Climate conditions are changing. Rain is appearing where it's not expected. There are 8 cyclones in the Pacific, etc. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Trump has attacked the transgender population. Resident Rump stabbed his own service members in the back in the worst possible way yesterday. Not only did he use his bully pulpit to slander transgender people generally, he announced a ban on trans service people without details of implementation. There were 9 minutes between the first tweet. It was a series of 3 tweets. 9 minutes between the first tweet and the second, and it started off saying, due to consultation with military officials, and a lot of people around the world bristled at that moment, thinking, oh my God, he's going to attack North Korea. No, he's attacking transgender people. So bad news, trans soldiers, you're getting out as a part of Resident Rump's Divide the Nation demagoguery, and you're the goat. The military establishment has been forced to react and say that they will wait for policy details. But what do you do in the meantime? Do you show up for work in the morning? Who knows? And this from a guy that dodged Vietnam with phony bone spurs. I sympathize with the soldiers thrown under the bus, though it doesn't change the fact that there is no excuse for the USA's imperialist global occupation. It's immoral, illegal, expensive, and wrong. The war on terror is not an effort to make U.S. citizens safer, but a scam, an excuse to keep the people of this planet enthralled to the agenda of war, oil, and finance industries. So despite the fact that serving in a country's armed forces can give one a chance to form valuable companionships and prove one's bravery, it's the wrong thing to do in this case. It's true that people have fought for our rights and freedoms bravely in this country, and they were protesters at Haymarket Square, Stonewall, Edmund Pettus Bridge, etc. That said, I'm not one of these people that say, thank you for your service. I don't think for one second that I'm somehow better than service members and veterans, but the phrases, glad you survived, or sorry you got sucked into all that, are not phrases that seem appropriate for strangers, so generally I say nothing. But picking on trans soldiers seems doubly cheap considering what they've gone through just to show up for duty. And in case you don't already know, I am transgender. My name is Teresa Mitchell. Trump's tweets on Wednesday morning were a diversion intended to throw red meat to the worst of his supporters at the expense of perfectly good soldiers and all transgender folk and the people who love them. His statements are full of spite and lies. He pretends that his precious armed forces are threatened and burdened by transgender people, as if transgender soldiers were not among the fiercest fighters. And I have observed for many years that there is a disproportionate number of transgender people in the special forces. Absolutely the fiercest fighters. Pentagon costs, estimated in the New York Times, for full surgery benefits for gender reassignment for all transgender soldiers were projected to cost a tiny fraction of 1% of the amount now spent on soldier health care. A writer for the New York Daily News and several late-night hosts have now pointed out that the military spends five times that much on Viagra. By pretending that transgender people are threatening U.S. military readiness, Rump has directed the hatred of his fanatics once again towards an innocent population. It's a cheap, lousy, demagogic, and effective tactic for fascist leaders. He's known for throwing immigrants, blacks, and Muslims under the bus, and now he has thrilled his fascistic core by giving them another segment of the population to hate and vilify. The cheapness and cowardice of this act is obvious to all except the most rabid bigots. The Daily Caller, the new standard for Trump fascism, ran an article interviewing a soldier who claimed that combat would become more difficult with trans troops because other soldiers would attack them. It said that soldiers would be weakened by hormone reassignment, apparently forgetting, as fascists often do, that female-to-male soldiers even exist. An article on Pride.com by Taylor Henderson points out seven times Trump has moved against the LGBT community since taking office. First, in January, Trump's administration removed all LGBT civil rights content on the White House website. Second, in February, he backtracked on protections for transgender students to use restrooms in public schools that match their gender identity. Third, in April, the Trump administration dropped former President Obama's federal lawsuit against North Carolina for discriminating against transgender people. Fourth, throughout June, Trump completely ignored LGBT Pride Month. Fifth, in June, he removed protections for LGBT workers against employment discrimination, then added them back the next day after a backlash. Sixth, in June, the 45th president spoke at an openly homophobic evangelical extremist conference. Seventh, yesterday morning, Trump tweeted plans to, well, not really plans, but just tweeted his attitude to ban transgender people from serving in the military. Trump was photographed holding a rainbow flag as he campaigned for president, but that may now be seen as about as sincere as Barack Obama's promises to shut Guantanamo and end the war in the Middle East. Why did he do it, and why now? Politico may have an answer. There's an article by Rachel Bade and Josh Dossey, quoting, after a week sparring with his attorney general and steaming over the Russia investigation consuming his agenda, President Donald Trump was closing in on an important win. House Republicans were planning to pass a spending bill stacked with his campaign promises, including money to build his border wall with Mexico. But an internal House Republican fight over transgender troops was threatening to blow up the bill, and House GOP insiders feared they might not have the votes to pass the legislation because defense hawks wanted a ban on Pentagon-funded sex reassignment operations, something GOP leaders wouldn't give them. They turned to Trump, who didn't hesitate. They write, in the flash of a tweet, I love that, in the flash of a tweet, he announced that transgender troops would be banned altogether, end quote. So here's a question. Does it matter what you and I say about this issue when we all know how it's going to play and how well it will play to the red states? Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Religious right leaders are celebrating President Donald Trump's policy announcement by tweet this morning, declaring a ban on transgender people serving the U.S. military in any capacity, as Miranda noted earlier. Reinstituting a ban that was lifted during the Obama administration has been one of the policy items on the religious rights wish list for Trump, and they had been lobbying for the change. More on that in a moment, but I've got a call from Lynn. Hello, Lynn. Good morning.
Good morning. Let me take you off speaker. Okay, right, am I coming through?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so I've been seeing some of the hand-wringing among progressive people on my Facebook feed, whatever, about, well, it's terrible they're discriminating against trans people, but the military is awful and we can't, whatever. And I'm willing to listen to anything like that as long as the person who says it tells me what exactly they are doing, have done, to try to make transgender people more employable and stop the discrimination that we face all the time. I got laid off. I'm transgender. I got laid off, January 2nd, 2014. And I can't say, you know, you can't prove what's discrimination and what isn't, but I got virtually nothing in all the applications I did. And the enforcement in this state is, well, you have to go to bowling and bowling has to do whatever. And then, you know, the employer gets what? Maybe a hand slap. So,
well, transgender people report that across the world and nationwide, that you apply for a job that you're qualified for, and once it's known you're transgender, there's crickets.
Yeah, exactly. On the other hand, I'm glad you brought out the politics of it. I've felt for a long time from reading about the bathroom bills and whatever, a lot of it, if not all of it, is, by politicians, is basic opportunism. You know, they've lost on abortion. They've lost on gay marriage, and you know we're the low hanging fruit to go after.
I think one of the things that, and I'd be interested in your opinion as a transgender person on this. I think one of the things that that's really at the core of this is the right wing's desire to oppress women, and to maintain the falseness of gender roles. So that free labor and that sense of rulership is available to conservative cis white men. I mean, that's what it's really about. It's an attack on femininity, and it works the other way against transgender troops who are female to male. But I think because if you look at the volume that is directed against male to female, this is what it's really about: is hating women, controlling women, forcing birth on women.
So basically what you're saying is we can't do anything about it until we defeat sexism?
I'm saying that's part of it.
Well, I think you're giving at least a lot of these supporters the credit for a more complex analysis than I personally think they're capable of, but you could be right. But one thing I'd be curious about, that article you were referencing, is that in Politico?
Yes.
Does it mention any details about who in the House was pushing for this? Does it give any names? States,
I'm using a print copy right now, and I just excerpted the part that I read, so I don't know. Don't know further at this point. But yeah,
for me, I mean, that's the thing: is to find those people and pressure them. And when I say pressure, I mean make sure they don't get elected in 2018, because now that's all they care about is winning and getting their access to power. In my humble opinion. I think the most directed and specific action, usually in politics, that makes the biggest difference. So I'll leave and let someone else have a chance.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. In my opinion, it's about we have to. It gets down to a core of we have to liberate femininity and we have to liberate women. And without that. These people, these 60 million who represent the core fanatic base for the demagogue, are not going to change because they feel certain that maintaining gender oppression, which they would not call gender oppression, of course, they would not acknowledge, but maintaining patriarchalism is essential and absolutely non-negotiable. Well, we have to back them down on that core. I mean, either they have to... I'm speaking to you, conservative America. Either you have to back down on this by understanding it, or you simply have to fight the world, because you can't live in the 19th century forever. You just can't. The fact is, gender oppression from A to Z was never legitimate. You know, teaching little girls to shrink before boys and to accept their abuse, to speak second, if at all, to allow men to talk over them, just everything, all of it, finding excuses for rape, finding excuses for microaggressions, that's at the core of this, basically. So, and ever since I grew a pair, so to speak, 16 years ago now, I've seen that much more clearly. I've seen, you know, and I've laughed to myself when I'm passing better, or maybe I could phrase it this way. When I'm passing better, people talk over me. And it's pretty clear to me why that is, because women are not valued. And that's one reason I use this voice. It's one reason, actually, the biggest reason I use this voice on the air is because of that, because of growing up for 43 years. Being 43 years in the male role makes it very difficult. There's a tremendous psychological barrier for me to use a feminized voice. I don't see anything wrong with, and I think I would be better served by a feminized voice, but usually, I can't manage it consistently. And it's because of the BS that's in my head that we call patriarchalism. And so I'm bringing up this latest aggression against, well, in this case, transgender soldiers in that context. This is what's at the root. Women have to be free. Women have to be liberated. Otherwise, this business will never stop. And I would also say that it goes further, that the psychological imprint of arbitrarily selecting one portion of the population, males, as superior, and creating a mythos, a false mythos, to support that idea is very handy for other forms of discrimination. Not just LGBT discrimination, but discrimination against people of color, against people from other countries. These days, the Democratic Party, disgustingly, is participating in encouraging people to hate Russians. Russians are also white, so the color barrier doesn't quite apply. But as so many times in history, actually, for Slavic peoples generally, it can be done. It's so easily done to target and exclude people, and it shows how arbitrary racial exclusion is as well. It just kind of shows it all up. And so this is where we're at today. I invite your comments and calls, 503-231-8187. Let's talk about transgenderism, because if we don't talk about it, then the people who do talk about it and who repeat the lies and the nonsense and the bigotry will prevail. And Mike is on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Mike. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I wanted to talk. I believe strongly that Donald Trump is doing the right thing in this situation, because, you know, when people, the transgender person is, when they're changing their sex, they're saying that they want more estrogen. They're trying to get away from testosterone, and they are embracing more estrogen. And so to be a soldier is basically being a warrior. And if you look in situations where men are warriors, they're not feminine. They're macho. Look at the NFL football. There's no transgender people playing in the NFL football. Any sport that requires masculinity, requires you to be a warrior, there's no transgender in there. So the military soldiers, they're warriors.
You know, a lot of women warriors would counter you on that. But let me just bring up something that I think you might have missed, something I mentioned earlier, that people generally who take the opinion that you just expressed seem to be forgetting that transgender also applies to female to male. And that means adding testosterone. So, you know, half the population does this and half the population does that. If testosterone is a value, which is something I would scoff at, but I'll give you that for the sake of argument, then it all evens out, doesn't it?
No, not really, because, you know, the female that's trying to be a man, her muscles, all of that doesn't equate to the physicality that a man is born with because of his physicalness. So even though a woman is walking around trying to be a man, it's like having a Mercedes, but you got a Volkswagen engine and a Mercedes.
You know, I've got to say, what you're saying is just a very clumsy echo of psychoneuroendocrinology in its infancy. It's like 60 years ago, psychoneuroendocrinology, and there are many women who are just extremely strong, and they are moving increasingly into the armed forces. I'm talking about cis women, women who are okay with their bodies. And the idea that the trans soldiers couldn't fight as well is pretty absurd to them and to the people who fight with them. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from soldiers is, hey, we've got good soldiers who are trans, they're fighting with us, we don't care about that business.
Now, let me ask you this question.
All right.
If that's the case, then how come there's no trans in NFL? How come they're out there playing football?
I think probably for the same reason that I've had great difficulty in getting jobs as a transgender person. There's discrimination. There's false concepts.
Now, I would think by now, if what you're saying is accurate, they would have, just like black people had to break the color barrier, I'm still waiting for a transgender to break the NFL barrier. If what you say is true, the reason they're not playing NFL football is because in the locker room, these guys are warriors, and they don't want a guy coming in there that's double-minded. You got to be focused. A transgender guy, when he goes into the military or football, his mind is switching from being a man to a woman. He's not focused.
I'm sorry, but I would characterize that as a bigoted and uninformed.
Oh, that's a true fact, man. That's a true fact. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk to you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Colin.
I think Donald Trump got this right, man. Thanks.
Well, and you started off saying that you have a strong opinion, and this is something that I notice about conservative people generally, is that there's a value to having a strong opinion, which means that if I parse it, what it really means is being fiercely loyal to the opinion of the group that you identify with. Being fiercely loyal to the opinion of the group that you identify with. And that opinion is not to be changed, because there's a value there. There's a belief that inquiry, logic, science, caution, and the observation of a range of facts is somehow going to weaken you. And in a very, very narrow way, that's true. If you've decided only to state a certain opinion, then you'd better shy away from anything that hedges on that. But this is why people who are not conservative call conservatives stupid, because that's a decision. That's a decision that you are not going to use your brain. I'm not sure why. Maybe it hurts or something. But I think that people are better served by being loyal first to the facts, first to real life. And science is there. You know, we hear the word science, and in our political and social context, it often means science that serves the agenda of the powerful, particularly the corporations. But science, at its core, is simply human inquiry. It's there's something I really love about science, and that is that humbleness, that wherever the facts lead, that is where your mind is going to go, where your opinion is going to go in your inquiries. You're going to base things on the facts as best you can determine them, rather than on what might happen to please you. So to a scientist, taking a specious attitude or inquiry is the worst, because you can easily fool yourself. So easily fool yourself. And science is something that I've had to dig into in my own case, and I've come to my, you know, frankly unscientific, frankly specious opinion based on the work of scientists, that what I've experienced in my life is simply that whatever pattern caused by society, but most specifically by powerful chemicals that were given my mother before I was born, created a pattern in my mind that told me endlessly that I must have a feminine configuration in my body. I must mature as a woman. And it never, ever went away. It's, let's see if I can remember the three terms that are used to define the condition. Consistency, I can't. I can remember consistency. It's always been this way. I tried until I was 43 years old to live and be manly. And I have found that my body has changed since I have taken estradiol and progesterone and other hormones to form something that is less galling to me. And I found that I'm stronger in some ways, weaker in other ways, different. And the idea that, of course, I'm almost 60 years old now, so the idea I could be a soldier is ridiculous, but the idea that that change would have kept me in my youth from being a fierce soldier is just ridiculous. And I'm afraid science backs that up as well. So the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Returning to Right Wing Watch, Liberty Council, which can generally be counted on to treat LGBTQ people with contempt, celebrated Trump's decision as making America safe again, while referring to the so-called transgender people, end quote. And so speaking for myself, the usual slurs implying by making America safe that there is some danger from transgender people, using the phrase so-called transgender people to doubt the existence of transgender people. And this is why groups like Liberty Council are listed as hate organizations. Returning to the article, is an article of faith among many religious right arguments that there's no such thing as transgender identity. The group's release said that its public policy director, Jonathan Alexandre, met with White House officials about the issue last Friday. The American Family Association, another hate group, applauded Trump's courageous decision to end the usage of our military for social engineering and for political correctness. Charismas. Bob Elishman gushed that Trump had shattered his predecessor's grand social experiment in the U.S. military. The Family Research Council's Robert McGinnis praised the common sense decision and took a rhetorical shot at the Obama administration for forcing the military to go down a path of, quote, political correctness, end quote. And Linda's on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was reading Huffington Post last night and I was encouraged. There are Republicans like Senator McCain and even a Republican senator from Alabama who have spoken up and said, this is wrong, and that anyone who is fit to serve and can pass all the standards to serve should be allowed to serve in the military. And I was very encouraged by that. And I do think that this is just Trump's grab at something that his base is going to cheer him about because he needs so much cheering on himself.
Well, I think so, and he seems to need enemy populations as well. And as I was saying at the beginning of this rant, he's thrown people of color under the bus. He's thrown Muslims and immigrants under the bus, and he gets power and glee out of that. And so, you know.
Yeah, and then in the same article, it was saying that Sessions' DOJ has just entered a brief in a case where I believe it's a gay man was saying he was discriminated in employment because he's gay. And the brief says that gay people are not covered under the Civil Rights Act and we have no protections. So I don't know how that squares with, you know, other things, but that's what they're trying to argue, that no, we have, you know, and not to discriminate against people because of their race, their religion, or their sex. We are not included in that. It didn't exclude us in that, but I guess we're not included in that, gay people.
Yes, it certainly does have an effect. I recently received transgender surgery last November. And after years of pushing my former employer, TriMet, and pushing against Kaiser Permanente as well, they finally gave ground when well, there were two things that did it, I think. One, a letter from my lawyer, and second, not that there, it wasn't the first letter from a lawyer, but the other thing was that they believed the Obama administration was going to move forward extending Title IX to transgender women, and so preventing discrimination in healthcare. And so they decided they would throw down their cards and just go ahead and give me the surgery. And I wonder what effect that will now have on women who need surgery, who need gender correction, with this new attitude. And that's what it's aimed at.
The things that Obama was pushing, did they become law? I mean, this article made it sound like none of that became law, and we're just not protected at all.
It came under the category of interpretation of law.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Well, go ahead.
It's just very sad that we have a president who just wants to do these things, you know, that just wants to tear people apart. Any vulnerable population that he can get cheers from his base, you know, by trying to rip their hearts out, you know, is what he's going to do. It's very sad.
Well, I have to agree. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. Of course, this raises the question of what further pushback and what further motion we can make towards revolution. And that's why I'm bringing up the core of transphobia and of homophobia. It is the hatred of the female, and it is the hatred of the female because it works this way in racial aggression as well. And in all human aggressions that stand for any length of time, you hate the people that you oppress because you see in them the truth of your own evil. You see in women, a white cis male can easily see in women, only takes a decision to look for a moment, the resentment and the oppression that any human being feels when they are dismissed, talked over, groped, goes on further, gets worse. Any white person can see the resentment, the oppression, the suffering of people of color under racial articles of discrimination. And there are so many ways of dealing with this, but the primary way of dealing with it is pretending that you didn't see it, pretending that it didn't happen. The biggest friend of racial discrimination, the biggest friend of sexism, of homo and transphobia, is pretending that there isn't discrimination in those forms, that pretending that there isn't whiteness, that it doesn't mean anything, pretending that whiteness is a race. Interested in your comments and questions. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Now, you're listening to Press Watch, and I have several items, several news items that I would like to pass along as well. I started off with climate news. But of course, there's more going on. And actually, I guess I will first add on to what the caller was saying from commondreams.org. Just hours after President Donald Trump announced on Twitter that transgender people would no longer be permitted to serve in the armed forces, the Department of Justice launched what is being characterized as a separate attack on the LGBTQ community, this time by arguing in a legal brief that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does not protect gay workers from discrimination. Sarah Warblow is quoted, Sarah Warblow of the Human Rights Campaign is quoted saying, "Attacks against the LGBTQ community at all levels of government continue to pour in from the Trump-Pence administration," end quote. James Essex, director of the ACLU's LGBT and HIV project, said in a statement Wednesday, quoting, "Wednesday will go down in history as anti-LGBT day," end quote, and denounced the Justice Department's brief as a gratuitous and extraordinary attack on LGBT people's civil rights. Further quoting, "The Sessions-led Justice Department and the Trump administration are actively working to expose people to discrimination. Fortunately, courts will decide on whether the Civil Rights Act protects LGBT people, not an attorney general and a White House that are hell-bent on playing politics with people's lives," end quote. Continuing with part of that article in commondreams.org, the Justice Department's filing was aimed specifically at a case that kicked off in 2010 when Donald Zarda, a skydiving instructor, filed suit against his employer in a federal court in New York alleging that the company terminated him for his sexual orientation in violation of the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Holden adds that the DOJ's involvement in the case is abnormal because the department doesn't typically weigh in on private employment lawsuits. Pardon me. Furthermore, the department is not party to the case. Nonetheless, the Justice Department, headed by Trump-appointed Attorney General Jeff Sessions, whose voting record on issues affecting the LGBTQ community has been described as deeply disturbing, issued forth its contention that sex discrimination barred by the Civil Rights Act does not extend to sexual orientation. So that's what the caller was talking about. Incidentally, in that case, Varda, if you look into it, Zarda, it doesn't look good. He filed suit against his employer for discrimination, and then, whoops, he died skydiving. Now, people die while skydiving all the time, so one thing doesn't prove another, but it sure doesn't look good. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Pardon me, continuing. Actually, before we get to news shorts, continuing with a right-wing watch list of how the Red 60 Million have reacted to this attack on transgender. The Family Research Council's Robert McGinnis praised the common-sense decision. Where I already read that one. Former military chaplain and former Colorado office holder Gordon Klingenschmidt said, "Thank God for the ban on transgender people serving in the military," but complained in an email about 24 House members, Republican House members, who joined all House Democrats last week to defeat an amendment that would have banned the use of taxpayer funds on medical treatments associated with gender transition. I encourage writers, and I encourage you to use gender correction rather than transition, because I'm who I always was. And my body is different now than it was when I was 13, than it was when I was born. But I am who I always was, and my condition was corrected, not transitioned. Returning to the article, anti-gay extremist Theodore Shubat found in Trump's announcement yet another opportunity to express his belief that gay people should be exterminated. And quoting, "While this is great news, what really needs to be done is the death penalty for sodomites," end quote. The next man, right-wing pundit Matt Berber, is quoted saying, "Prohibit all open sexual deviancy in the ranks of the armed forces." And continuing quote of Barber, "The military is no place for extremist San Francisco-style social political activism, such social engineering, blah, 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 blah." And AFA's One News Now declared that Trump tweets today's top story and reprinted glowing responses from a handful of religious right leaders while offering a poll that asks for a reaction to the Trump ban. The poll gives readers five different ways to say yay, but no way to register disapproval. And finally, Trump's announcement came on the anniversary of President Harry Truman's executive order ending racial segregation in the military. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. You're listening to Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. It's 9:41 Pacific time. Robert Greenstein writes, "In Common Dreams, Senate Republican leaders have tried and failed this week to pass two measures to repeal the Affordable Care Act, a modified version of their repeal and replace bill, and a straight ACA repeal bill. Both measures, like all previous versions of ACA repeal that Congress has considered, would cause tens of millions of people to lose their health coverage and millions more to pay out much more to get skimpier coverage or both." Now, speaking for myself, there's a common thread here that since we have the Obamacare, since it exists, and since it covers millions of people, and since it is a great improvement on no Obamacare, we are pushed into the corner of defending Obamacare, even though its primary purpose is to protect the excessive profits and salaries, profits expressed as salaries, often as not, in so-called nonprofits, of the healthcare industry, which is actually... It just gets thicker, doesn't it? Which is actually the health denial industry. The health denial industry is only able to get profits by denying health care. If it did not deny health care, it could not make profits, period. And so Obamacare is first and foremost for the profits of people who are already rich at the expense of people who need medical care medical care being a human right, this is a rather criminal thing. However, it is so, it's much less criminality than simply letting people die by the millions, which is what the Republicans are desperately trying to do in order to get even more money to the very rich. So you see what I'm saying? This is sort of like me saying, well, damn it, it's not fair not to let transgender people into the military, when really what I want to say is, for God's sake, stop joining the Imperial military. It's not right. What, there used to be a phrase in the 70s, join the army, you know, go meet interesting people and go to different places, something like that. And pundits, of course, wags changed that to join the military, travel to interesting places, meet interesting people, and kill them. The military is more deeply steeped than even the rest of the society in the grotesque lies that feed imperialism. The idea that the demolition of three buildings in New York equaled an attack by the world, a war of terror, that there, you know, that there was a terrible oppression of Americans by Arabs, and it was, of course, the people who were on those planes, which I rather doubt, given the experience that they lacked and the G-forces that were incurred in the motion of the planes, which I sincerely doubt they actually piloted, the people who were actually in the planes that crashed into the buildings were largely Saudis, and we just love Saudis. We enjoy how they bomb and torture other people. They're just sort of American pets, really. All of the worst things they do are the things that we as Americans like the best. And of course, Saudis are absolutely horrific in their oppression of women and of GLBTQ people. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. And so what I'm saying is that here's a similarity, that things have gone so far to the right that we are in such an egregious imperial Jim Crow police state that we end up protecting the rights in these tiny corners. But Joan's on the air. What you got to say, Joan?
Hello. Yes. Okay, so thank you for taking my call. This is an interesting subject when that guy was talking about the testosterone in the military, blah, blah, blah. Speaking as a cis female who has studied martial arts seriously for about 15 years, and I'm a little old for that now. I don't do it anymore. My teachers were both older women, one Japanese woman and one Chinese woman. The Chinese woman that I studied with was 86 years old, and she was very powerful. And I believe, seriously believe, not some scientific study, but from my own experience, that one of the reasons that women have been oppressed and held down for so many years is not because we're weaker and so on and so forth, but because the testosterone attitude is terrified of the real power of women, which is different than the power of men. It's not a question of less or more. We just, when a woman is expressing herself in the martial arts, she has a different quality, shall we say, which is no less powerful. It might take a slightly different aspect, a slightly different energy, and this type of energy has been in eclipse and been suppressed for thousands of years, because I think that the essential power of women, which probably starts with the concept of giving birth, which was terrifying. If you look back in anthropology, you'll notice that this was a power that was feared and misunderstood. And the desire to hold women down because of a fear of our power is, I think, at what is at the root of all of this. And if you talk to women about things like rape and so on and so forth, you'll notice a very distinct rage, which is similar to the kind of rage that you would experience in all oppressed people. And I think the testosterone folks are really terrified of this type of rage being released, which is what is at the core of female oppression.
I've certainly felt that rage, and as soon as people understood that I was different, I was feminine, they threatened to rape me. And when I was threatened to be raped when I was driving a bus, I remember one opportunity to express that rage, in which a man started saying that he had the right to rape me, and I began to rage at him so severely that others intervened. And I was
it's the rage is part of it. I mean, here's the thing. If the military really had something to do with women, anything to do with women, in terms of the way we think and the way we determine things and the way we feel things, there might still be a military, and it might still be a very effective military, probably a more effective military, because it would not be rushing off to these testosteronic conclusions that lead a lot of real atrocity to take place.
That's junk science.
And I'm not saying that a woman's military is necessarily kinder and gentler. We haven't seen such a thing for thousands of years. We don't know what shape it would really take. But I have a feeling that a woman-run military would be a lot less likely to actually go to war. That's just a supposition that I have. And a lot of, you know, I think that a woman is perfectly capable of joining a man's military and succeeding in it. And I know some women who are so powerful and so intense, and, you know, there's no reason why they couldn't serve. But if women were running things and making these decisions, I think you would find that the situation would be different. Different how, I do not know, but I think that the people who are promoting testosterone are really terrified of what this difference would be.
I think you're right. And testosterone talk is junk science.
Pardon me?
That testosterone talk is junk science, as I was saying. When people want to speak of science, for example, one of the arguments against transgender people is that there's XX and there's XY and that there's no getting around that. It's just junk science. Genes are expressed according to...
Well, the thing that's in you that makes you feel like a woman is that, you know, your essential nature is what we're talking about here. And I remember one of the things that my martial arts teacher, this 86-year-old Chinese woman, would always say to her classes, which included both men and women. She'd look at the guys and say, "You're using too much force. You'll never get it." Now, what did she mean? You're strong, but you're not using that kind of force. You're using something else. And this is the thing that's in eclipse. And look at the animal kingdom. Look at the mother bear who's defending her cubs. You know, I mean, this business about women being weaker is ridiculous. What would the game of football be like on a woman's football team? We do not know. Maybe there is a woman's football team. Would it be a less interesting game? You know. So I just want to put that whole thing to rest, or at least put it in question.
I think you're absolutely right.
Okay, well, thank you for giving me the airspace. I mean, it's a very interesting subject, and I could go on for a long time, but I'm not going to, and I appreciate that you are discussing this, because, you know, let's get real about this.
Yeah, let's get to the
core. About what these guys are really afraid of, and why it's so important to them that women be kept in the place that they have assigned us to, which, of course, you know, I mean, the times are changing and things are rolling around, and it's not going to stay that way for very long. Just look at it worldwide. But it is a struggle because, you know, there's a certain attitude that wants to remain supreme, and it's an attitude that's leading us to destruction. Okay?
You're absolutely right. And there's no point the other way when the house is on fire. Thanks for calling in. And I'm also grateful for the person who called in and gave the testosterone argument, because that was dead on. That was the dogma that you will hear from conservatives. He had it right in that sense. I mean, he knew exactly all those talking points. And so I didn't have to bring him up. He did. And that's why your call is welcome here. And I appreciate those who oppose my point of view, who are brave enough to take me on and call in so we can actually talk these things out. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, I was talking about the skinny repeal, the repeal of ACA, and I was commenting that what a sad situation it is that I have to defend this Obamacare, which, of course, was about the profits of the already rich health denial industry. And I would so much rather be talking about and let's go to let's demand in the streets, because it is our right. Let us demand socialized. Oh, are you afraid of that word? Let's demand socialized medicine. Works in every industrial country except ours. And it's really kind of sad and silly just how submissive we are to corporate America. They've worked a long time at it, and they've softened our brains. They've colonized our minds very well. Oh, my God. So that we all depend on their approval. But let's just cut that out, shall we? Because we're going to freaking die. You're going to die. There's so many people who are going to die if skinny repeal is passed. Let me explain what skinny repeal is. What they want to do, the base is they want to take out the, you know, and they often say the hated mandate, the fact that if it's an insurance game, and here again, I don't like having to defend an insurance game, but this is what we have. If it's an insurance game, it works, it's insurance, everyone pays in. Mathematically, some people are going to get paid out to, the profits accrue, as I said, to the people who are already rich, that's the insurance game. It's insurance, all right? And insurance doesn't work if you take out the people who don't currently need the insurance. For example, what do you think would happen to your car insurance if you only had to pay in after you had a car wreck? How many people would be paying into the insurance? It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for the riches of the executives, certainly, and it wouldn't work for the industry at all, even if it were a cooperative. You wouldn't bring in enough money. And so this is what the Republicans want to do, is take out the fact that everyone has to pay into health care. The idea that, it's everyone's responsibility, of course. You're not going to be absolutely perfectly healthy through all of your life. You're not. There's going to be some point at which you will need medical care. Yeah, I know there's the occasional exception, and statistically, it's absolutely insignificant. Provably statistically insignificant. You have to pay in. And so that what they want is they're going to take out the part where everyone pays in, and that will destroy it. And it will raise the rates for people who have health insurance, like me, and like a lot of you listening to me right now, so much that you won't be able to afford it. One way or another, either the copays will be too high, or the categories of care will recede further and further, or they'll become more difficult to get. There are so many games that can be played. There's a reason. It's not a mistake when you call your health provider. They call it provider, even though it's actually your health excluder. And have to wait for half an hour on the phone. That works by the numbers. That is very profitable. They didn't forget to hire enough people to answer the phone. They keep you waiting because they know that some people, even if they're going to freaking die from it, even if they're desperate, will one way or another fall off the phone and have to call again. The numbers work. It's a way of killing you. And it's a part of the American way of health denial. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and Jody's on the air.
Hey, Therese. Thanks for the topic. I have been a Kaiser member my entire life, just so we can talk about the elephant in the room, Big Kaiser,
yeah,
up here. And they're considered one of the best HMOs in the country, by the way, especially Kaiser Northwest by themselves. Just so you know, my wife has been a Kaiser doctor for the last 20, 21 years.
So. Well, good on her.
So I'm talking, yeah. Anyway, she's a great doctor. She is for universal health care. She is, so we're all for that. I think health care is a human right, not a commodity. And it's obscene what we do in America to people. And we intentionally allow people to die for profit, and it's got to stop. It's insanity. It's just ridiculous. And I've been listening to you guys, you and Arnie, and a lot of people on the air at KBOO since we moved up here, and you've done a great job, and I appreciate the work you do. So
thank you.
Take care. Appreciate it.
Oh, well, thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Now, some other news topics that I didn't have time to get to. Pardon me. On the White Terror Report, a Garfield County, Oklahoma Sheriff Jerry Niles and five other jail officials are facing second-degree manslaughter charges after being accused of being responsible for the death last year of an inmate due to negligence. Basically, they strapped him in a chair for 2 days and let him die. And yes, it's white on black. In Jerusalem, dozens of Palestinians have been injured as Israeli forces attacked protesters gathered outside the main entrance to the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in East Jerusalem. The latest round of violence erupted on Tuesday as Israeli troops resorted to force in order to disperse Palestinians demonstrating against the Tel Aviv regime's restrictive measures at the compound. According to local reports, several reporters and a young child were among those injured. There's more on that. That's from Radio Havana, Cuba. From InTheseTimes.org, NPR workers just proved that collection action works. And staff unions are more important than ever. You may want to pull that up at InTheseTimes.org by Michael Aria. It tells the story of how 300 NPR employees voted to request strike authorization, and they had to back off NPR just to keep decent conditions at their workplace. And the South China Morning Post reports that China is building up its border with North Korea in anticipation of possible refugee problems following a threatened war between Korea and the United States. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Coming up, more of the incomparable Thursday radio zine. And you're listening to us on 90.7 and other frequencies in Cascadia and on KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
And good morning. It is KBOO Portland at a minute before 10 o'clock. At 10:15, we've got Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, join us for Between the Covers. Your host, David Naiman, will be speaking with Mary Ruffel about her joyous and unmistakable collection of stories and essays, My Private Property. And then at 11:30, join us for The Film Show, taking you on a tour of classic drive-in theaters around Oregon, where you can bring your roadster, your bike, or even your two legs for a screening under the stars. That's all coming up this morning, right after we hear from Chris Andre. It's Air Cascadia coming right up with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
Have you seen KBOO's Fuzzy Boo Van? It's a giant furry blue Muppet mobile that brings music and joy wherever it's found in Portland and across the region. We're having a contest this summer. If you spot the van, post a picture on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the hashtag FuzzyBoo, and you'll be entered to win a chance to have FuzzyBoo at your event, as well as other prizes. Each picture you take is another chance to win. For more info and clues on where to find the van, go to kboo.fm/fuzzyboo.